Today she is Masechta Rabbah Basra Daf Pei Beis, and we will begin the Mitzvah Shem, Siyata D'Shmaya, on Daf Pei Beis Amud Aleph, at the second line. In our previous year, the Gemara had discussed very extensively, beginning with the halach that if somebody buys two trees in a property, is he the owner of those trees and the land, or is he only the owner of the tree? And the Gemara had taught us that it was most relevant, that discussion was most relevant to the question of Mechsi Kishikra, of saying, bring Bikurim. We know that the first fruits of the Zayin Minim we have to bring to the Beis HaMikdash every year. And the question, but it has to be from land that we own. And the Gemara's question is this land, is this Mechuyev and Bikurim? And we also discussed in the previous year that even if we'll say that Bikurim should be brought from this, do we say the Parsha Mikra Bikurim? As the Gemara discussed in the previous year, the discussion was that maybe some of these, that they're not really Chayiv and Bikurim. But ask the Gemara, as we begin today's year, Amalei Ravacha Bereder of Avila Ravashi, Michti, the Psukim, the Torah of the Mikra Bikurim, are Psukim. So why should we not allow the individual liquid to say the Mikra Bikurim? It's no more than just saying Psukim. Amalei, to which Rav Ashi responds, Shunda Mechsi Kishikra. When the Pasuk says when you bring the Bikurim, it sounds like you're Mechuyiv and you say the Mikra Bikurim, it sounds like these are produce that are really chayiv mikurim, and they really may not be chayiv mikurim. It sounds like you're saying something which is untrue. And as the pasuk says in Tehillim, "Doiv shkarim la'yikayin la'neged einai." HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a special distaste for something which is not true. But Mishash Bereid of Chiyamar, there's another reason why not to say it. Dum Asalaf Kinu Matruma Maisa. What's going to happen is you may end up, because you think that it's real Bikurim, and as we discussed extensively in our previous year, something that is Bikurim, there's no Chiyiv in Trumas and Maisris. This is only being brought from Suffolk. So in order to avoid this type of making a mistake, because you say the Mikra Bikurim, Chazal taught us specifically don't say that the Mikra Bikurim. The halacha is that if somebody says a bracha, which is not necessary, a bracha she'en tzricha, he violates the Isser, which is in the Aseret Dibros, of Lasisa Shem Eshav. You're not allowed to say Hashem's name in vain. The halacha is, if somebody is in doubt if he's obligated to say a bracha or not, he shouldn't say the bracha, because it's a suffix of saying Hashem's name in vain. The Pnei Yeshua, however, says that saying Hashem's name in a foreign language is not a violation of Lasisa Shem Eshav. So therefore he suggests that if a person is uncertain if he said a bracha or not, for example, somebody ate an apple and he's not sure if he made a bar in the fascius or not, he should say Bar Nefashis in Aramic, as the Gemara in Baruchah says, he should say Brich Rachmonim. Rabbi Kiv Egan, the Chassam Sofer, disagree with the Pnei Yeshua, saying that you're not allowed to say Hashem's name in vain in any language. And therefore, this suggestion of Pnei Yeshua to say Brich Rachmonim is not something that they agree with. The Netziv says that even if we accept the concept that the Pnei Yeshua is setting forth, that saying Hashem's name in a foreign language is not a violation of Laisisa, he said, based on our Gemara, you shouldn't say it. Because our Gemara says that if somebody says the Mikra Bikurim when he's not really obligated to say it, it's considered Mechsi Kishikra. Therefore, he says, saying a bracha when there's a question if you're obligated to say the bracha is in the same category of Mechsi Kishikra, And therefore, as our Gemara just said, we're supposed to do whatever we can to avoid Machzik Yishikra. So our Gemara gave two reasons why not to say the Mikra Bikurim. One is because Machzik Yishikra, and one is because you may end up exempting from Truma Meiser something which is really not Bikurim and not exempt. The Shagas Arya says, what's the nafkamina between these two turutzim? He says the nafkamina is in a case where somebody is obligated to bring Bikurim for certain, but he's not sure if he should say the Mikra Bikurim. According to the opinion that says Mechzik Kishukra, even in a case where he's certainly chayv to bring the Bikurim, but he's not sure if he should say the Parsha Mikra Bikurim or not, he should not say it, because it's Mechzik Kishukra. But according to the reason that the concern is that you may end up exempting something from Trumas HaMaisris, which is not exempt from Trumas HaMaisris, here we don't have that concern. Because here we're speaking about something which is certainly chayiv in Trumas HaMaisris, certainly chayiv in part from Trumas HaMaisris, so there's no room for such a mistake. Al Gemara has introduced this concept, as we just have been discussing, of Mechzik Yishikra. So the Chashuk Yechemed has a discussion about a question where somebody had a baby, a firstborn baby boy, but there's not going to be opinion aben. The reason that's not going to be opinion aben is because this baby was born, for example, with a cesarean, and it's not a petarechem, so there's no opinion aben. But they don't want to publicize that that's what happened, and therefore what they're doing is they want to make a pinyan aben, and they just won't make the bracha. And the question is, it'll sound like they're making a bracha, but they really won't make a bracha. And he says that this is a consideration of Mechzik Yishikra, which Al Gemara just taught us that we have to avoid anything that looks like it's not true. But then he quotes a Urayim. The Urayim, Mitzvah Reish Lamed Hei, says that the Issa of Medvash Sheker Tirchuk is only in a place like Al Gemara just identified. By doing something which is not true, there could be repercussions. We'll say that you're not Chayv and Trumas HaMaisris when you are Chayv and Trumas HaMaisris. But in such a situation where we're going to make a pinyan aben and there's no downside, maybe it should be permissible. So he quotes Rav Chaim Kanievsky Zatzal in the Sefer Derech Amuna that says, when do we have to be most concerned? Is by a bracha or by the parsha of Mikra Bikurim. We were speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we can't stand in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu and say something which is not 100% accurate. Therefore, he says, even in this pinyan aben, a real bracha, as we just said, will not be recited, but it sounds to everybody there, it sounds like a real bracha. And because to everyone there it sounds like a real bracha, it shows an improper respect for bracha. And therefore, under those circumstances, we should not make this pinyan aben. The Michas Elazar says that discusses this in Shas Chus Michas Elazar Chel Gimel Simen Yud Ches. He says we know that the halacha is that Sofik. The halacha is that Sofik. The Rabbanan Lekula Sofik Deraisa Lechumra. So if there's a din deraisa, asks the Michas Elazar, that when you bring Bikurim, there's a din deraisa that when you bring Bikurim, you're supposed to say the Pasha of Mikra Bikurim. So why don't we apply that rule of Sofik Deraisa Lechumra and make the person say the Pasha of Mikra Bikurim? So the Michas Elazar says that although there is a chiv to say the Pasha Mikra Bikurim when Bikurim are brought, but as we're learning, there's also an Isser a medvar sheker tirchak. And in a situation where there's a shaila, where there's a question of saying something which is not true, then we don't apply the rule of Safek Derais L'Chumra. Because he quotes the Rashba, who says that why did the Torah, when it teaches us that we're not supposed to say something which is not true, use this interesting language, the Dvar Sheket Tirchak. What is the Torah trying to teach us with the word Tirchak? So he says, well, what's being taught, the words Dvar Sheket Tirchak, is that anything that even has the slightest connection to something which is not true, we're not allowed to say. And therefore, even though there is a Safek Derais that we should say to Marash Bikurim, but as our Gemara is teaching us, it's a situation of Mechzi Kishikra, and therefore, since it's a situation of Mechzi Kishikra, we have to be careful not to say something which is not 100% accurate. I saw that the Shailos HaTshuvos Torah L'Shma Simen Pei says that many people in the Zmiris say the Zmiris of a Zamer B'Shvachin. And in that we say that we bring a Sadla Droima an art of the Sima V'chem B'chamer G'kosa U'medani Asam. And we're saying, and some people in fact have the minig, that when they, by the Friday night Suda, they bring Hadassim, because as we just said, it says there that we bring to the Suda Medone Asam. So he wants to suggest that if you don't have Hadassim by your table, not everybody has the minig of bringing Hadassim to the table. So he wants to suggest then you shouldn't say it because it's not true. And our Gemara had just taught us, some, especially based on the Michsalaz that we just learned, anything that has the slightest connection to not being 100% accurate is something that we should stay away from. Says the Gemara, we learned in the Mishnah, Hegdilu, if somebody bought trees, but the situation in which he bought the trees is he doesn't own the property under them. He only bought, according to the Chachamim, two trees, and now branches grew out of that tree. The halacha is what grows out of the trunk of the tree belongs to the owner of the tree. What grows out of the roots of the tree belongs to the owner of the property. So ask the Gemara, Heichad Amin Min HaGezer, what is considered in the category of what grows out of the trunk? Heichad Amin Min HaShrashim, and what is considered what grows out of the root? Amar Rav Yochanan, Kol Shroi Pnei Chama, anything that's above ground, which is visible to the sun, Zeh Min HaGezer, that's considered that it's growing out of the trunk. V'she'en Roi Pnei Chama, which is not facing the sun, that's, in other words, what's underground, Zem and a shroshim is considered it grows from the shroshim and belongs to the owner of the property. But ask the Gemara, the Leichestu Maskka Arasarta, that if we're going to say that anything that grows out from the branches belongs to the owner, even though they're right next to the ground, so maybe we should be concerned that there's going to be a situation where the earth will cover up branches that are emanating from the trunk. And it's going to be branches that look like they're growing up from the ground when they're really growing out of the tree. So there's going to be a new consideration. As we've been discussing and will continue to discuss, there's a very big nafkamina if you bought two trees or you bought one tree. So if you bought two trees or three trees, if you bought two trees, according to the Rabbanan, you don't own the property, the land. If you bought three trees, you do. But here it looks like it's three trees, and if it looks like three trees, people are going to make the mistake and think that that the buyer gets the land when he really isn't entitled to it. Says the Gemara, Elam Rav Nachman, says Rav Nachman, because of this question, what the Mishnah says, somebody who has such branches, Yakut should cut off those branches, that don't leave those branches there, because leaving those branches could cause a lot of problem. I asked the Mefarshim that we learned in our Mishnah that the branches, if you bought only the tree and not the land, and there are branches that are growing over the other person's property, they cannot be trimmed. And here we're saying we should trim them. So of course, the Mefarshim explained there's a difference where they're growing. If they're growing by the ground, where the mistake that we just discussed could happen, cut them. If they're growing high up on the tree, and there's no concern that somebody's going to think that there's a third tree growing here, you leave them. Ken Amar Rav Yochanan, the branches that are near the ground, yokets. The Rishonim discuss what's going to be the case where the third tree only comes later. And now there's a dispute between the seller and the buyer. When was that a third tree at that point, or was that a third tree there from the beginning? The Rashba and the Ritva say that if it looks to us like there are three trees, then it belong that then the land belongs to the buyer, and the burden of proof is on the seller to prove that this came later. The Ramban says that no, we always, and we spoke about this many times, we speak about the muchzik, and the seller is the muchzik on this property. Since the seller is the muchzik on the property, it becomes the obligation of the buyer to prove that he owns the land, that there were three trees. And as long as he cannot prove that, then the halach is he keeps the. As long as he can't prove that, then the land belongs to the seller. Amar Rav Nachman Naktinun, we have halacha. If somebody buys a dekel, a palm tree, ein legezer, the branches that come out of the trunk do not belong to the buyer. Unlike what we're learning till now, that if you buy a tree, the branches that come out of the trunk do belong to the buyer. So says the Gemara, Sover is Vidla Meimer, that what's the reason for what Rav Nachman just told us? That what he meant to say was, the ein legezer baal dekel, the kivin del mechber l'sharish koi, since this palm tree dries up, and when it dries up, it's going to be completely uprooted, because as we spoke earlier in our shiurim, palm trees do not regenerate. So the buyer of this tree doesn't really pay attention to the branches that are coming out of the trunk. He has no intention of taking ownership in those branches, because his thinking is that this tree is likely to dry up before any branches grow out of the tree. And therefore, he's not thinking about the branches. He never had intention to take ownership of the branches. Whereas by other trees, where even if the tree were to dry up, you could replant, they regenerate. That's why he thinks much more about the branches and doesn't mean to give up the branches. Maskula Rapapa asks Rapapa to Rav Zvid, the Kainish Neilonis, the Mishnah discussed somebody who bought two trees. And it speaks about any type of tree. We talk about any type of tree, including the palm tree, which we just described the palm tree, a tree which is Lamechber or Lamishrish Kaimi. It's a tree that's going to be uprooted. And yet, our Mishnah said that Ketani Diyesh Legezer, that the trunk belongs to the buyer. So we see that there's no place to differentiate between the palm tree and any other tree. Alamara Papa, ain't like Gezel about Dekel, the fish ain't might together. The halacha is, what Rav Nachman said, ain't like Gezel about Dekel, means is because the trunk of a palm tree doesn't usually have branches grow out from the trunk. The branches are only on the top of the tree. That's the only places where there are branches. And therefore, somebody who, if there are branches that grow out of the trunk, then the buyer isn't interested, never thought about those branches, never thought about taking ownership of those branches. And that's why he doesn't keep those branches. And the way to understand, according to Rav Papa, the Mishnah, is that yes, by all trees you get the branches. Which trees are we referring to? We're referring to trees that are likely to have branches. But trees that aren't likely to have branches, he's not entitled to the branches. But ask the Gemara, Ulur Azvid, Kashim Asnesin, but according to Azvid, how do we understand the Mishnah, according to Azvid, palm trees do produce branches? And our Mishnah says the branches always belong to the buyer. Answers the Gemara, the Zavim Chamashin. Our Mishnah is referring to a situation where the buyer leased the trees, and he leased the trees for 5 years. And then the halacha is that if the tree dies, even though when you don't buy enough trees, you don't own the land under it, but when you wrote a contract with a lease for a certain amount of years, and if the tree that you have were to die prior to that time, then you would be allowed to replant another tree. Since that's the case of our Mishnah, the person in our Mishnah, like the Gemara said, is not Masih Das. He doesn't forget about this tree because he knows that even if something were to happen to the tree, and even if it's a palm tree that doesn't regenerate, it doesn't make a difference. I'm going to plant another tree. In that case, the Mishnah says the owner of the palm tree keeps the branches. But in a situation, says the Gemara, where there was no time frame attached to this lease, when there's no time frame attached to the lease, the halacha is that when the time of the lease ends, when the tree dies, then that's it. You can't replant the tree. So in that case, your assumption is that it may die it may die before there are any branches. And therefore, says Rav Zvid, and in that case, since you're assuming that it's possible that's going to die before any branches, you don't think about the branches, and that's what Rav Nachman said, that dekel eloi gezel. We learned, however, in our Mishnah, that kana shloisha, kana karka. If somebody buys three trees, then he owns the land, he buys land as well. But ask the Gemara, kama, the Mishnah said that kana karka, and as the Namuki Yosef explains, the fact that the Mishnah uses the words kana karka means that the Mishnah is limiting to how much land will he receive. He only receives karka as much as is necessary to do what he needs to do for the benefit of these trees. So the question is, how much does that mean? Says the Gemara, Amar Abchi bar Abba, Amar Abyoichanan, Hareza kana tachteim, he owns all of the land under the trees, Ubeinayim, and the land between the trees that he bought. That means the land under the branches, the chutzlahen, and outside of the trees, kemaloi oir v'saloi, the amount that a person needs who's collecting fruit to have his basket, and put in the fruit. The Rashbam points out that the Gemara differentiates between the land between the trees and the land outside the tree. The land in between the trees is as much as land as goes with the tree. The land outside the tree is identified by where I need to stand to collect the produce. Ask the Gemara Maskula, Rabbi Lazar, is that the halacha? That the land around the trees is also becomes the property of the buyer of the tree? Ask the Gemara, Hashta Derech Einloi, We learned earlier very extensively that machlokes of Rabbi Kiva and the Rabbanan hamoicha bein yofa moicha bein ram moicha, and the opinion of the Rabbanan was that moicha be our moicha bein ram moicha, and that means if I bought a tree, that I bought the tree, but I don't get the path to the tree. So ask the Gemara. If according to Rabbanan, I'm not even entitled to have a path how to get to my tree, so then now we're being generous and giving area around the tree, how are we to understand this? Says the Gemara, Amar Zera, B'divrei Rabbeinu, the Mishnah, from the word of Rabbi Lazar, that says that the reason that you're now entitled to a path because the ara achritahi, it's not considered connected to your tree. Nilmat shloshu de'elay derech. From here we're going to learn that somebody who bought three trees and bought property, he doesn't buy the path. However, Domele, when you buy two trees, Domele, then the buyer could say to the seller, the trees are in your property. What does it mean that the trees are in your property? That even though this entire property belongs to you, you have given me rights in the property. You certainly have given me rights in the property for the trees. And included in the rights that you've ceded to me in the property is a path to it. So it turns out a very interesting observation that if you buy three trees and you'll get the land around the trees, according to the Rabbanon, you will not be entitled to a path to those trees. But if you buy two trees, with Halach is if you buy two trees, you don't get the land under the trees, you will get a path to the trees. And as the Gemara say, Amalei Rav Nachman Yitzchak Rava Lema, according to this understanding, Rav Elazar less like Rav Shmuel Rabbi. Rav Elazar doesn't agree with Rav Shmuel, Dama Shmuel, Halach Rav Akiva, Dama Meich Ben Yafa Meicher. But according to this entire discussion, as we've been saying, this entire discussion has been based on following the principle of Meicher Ben Ra Meicher, the opinion of the Rabbanan. But as the Gemara, Shmuel paskin like Rabbi Kiva, that Meicher Ben Yafa Meicher. So the Gemara's question now is, the Gemara finds it difficult to accept, to accept that Rabbi Lazar is not following the opinion of Shmuel, paskin like Rabbi Kiva. Amalei, so Rabbi said to Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak, we really could say that Rabbi Lazar follows the opinion of Shmuel as Rebbe. The Meicher, and who passes like Rabbi Kiva, the Meicher, Ben Yafa Meicher. But the reason he asked the question of Rabbi Yochanan, based on the opinion of the Rabbanon of Meicher Ben Ra Meicher, he recognized that our Mishnah does not follow the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, that our Mishnah follows the opinion of the Chachamim, the Meicher Ben Ra Meicher. And therefore, if we follow the opinion of Meicher Ben Ra Meicher, then we have a question. How is that opinion consistent, if that's the halacha, we're giving him so much land around the property? So ask the Gemara, what forced Rabbi Elazar to assume that the halacha, that the Mishnah is following the opinion of the Chachamim? Mamai, Midik Tani, the Mishnah said, if somebody bought three trees, Vigdilu, and the trees, the branches of the trees spread, Yashba. So then the owner has a right to trim those trees. Says the Gemara, if we're going to say that a Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, my Yashva, why should the seller, the owner of the rest of the property, have a right to trim those trees? Homer isn't Rabbi Kiva's opinion, Meicher Ben Yafa Meicher. And if he holds Meicher Ben Yafa Meicher, so if he gave me the trees, he sold me the trees, he also gave me as much room that I need for all of the branches of the tree. But Amishnah is saying you don't have that right and you don't have all that room for the branches that are spreading. It must be because Amishnah is not following the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. Amalei, so he responds, that isn't the proof that it's not following the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. Because Eimadam Rabbi Kiva, when does Rabbi Kiva say the Meicher Ben Yafa Meicher? And if I sell you something in the field, I sold you the bor, the water pit in the field. Rabbi Kiva says, I certainly also sold you a path, how to get to that water pit. That's when we speak about a bar of dust. Dlaimach shi'ara. They don't destroy the field. And therefore, Meicher Ben Yafa Meicher, certainly I gave you a path to get to your bar of dust. However, Gabi Ilam Mishamtle, if we're going to say that Rabbi Kiva allows you, since you have the trees, to have everything that the tree needs, and if the branches are spreading, you're allowed to have all that area. So that what that means is that it's going to destroy the area because the trees are going to be blocking the sun from going to your land. And says the Gemara, Rabbi Kiva, at the beginning of the Masechta, Adav Chav Zayin Amabeis taught us, if my tree goes into your property, that you have a right to trim the branches if they're blocking you from being able to do plowing in your field. And that means we learned the amount that it takes, the height that it takes to have the animal and sitting on the animal and the equipment that you need when you're sitting on the animal. So we see that even Rabbi Kiva agrees that Meicher ben Yafa Meicher, but not in a case where it causes me damage. So even our Mishnah that says that the tree is growing, you can trim the tree, could be following the opinion of Rekiva. So now we're back to our question. If our Mishnah could be following the opinion of Rekiva, why is Rabbi Lazar asking questions on Rabbi Yochanan based on the opinion of the Chachamim when his Rebbe, when Rabbi Lazar's Rebbe Shmuel, paskins like Rabbi Kiva? So the Rabbanan's opinion should not be a consideration. So the Rishonim ask a question, how do we compare that our Mishnah, where we're speaking about two owners of a property, versus that case then, which is speaking about a neighbor? So he says so I saw the Rishonim explain that Mishnah that we learned earlier in the Masechta is even speaking about, the Rashba says this, is not just speaking a case where I own my property and you own your property, and that is a concern that my branches are going into your property. But that Mishnah is also speaking about a case where I bought this neighboring property from you. So it's very similar to our Mishnah, and therefore, just like there, even Rabbi Kiva agrees that you have a right to trim the tree. That's why our Mishnah can be the same. It says the Gemara Tanya Kavasei, Rabbi Chibar Abba, we learned like Rabbi Chibar Abba said, that if somebody buys three trees, Hareza Kona Tachtem Veneim, you own the area under the tree, between the trees, for chutzlehen, and outside of the tree, how much? Kamlai Arivasali. Says the Gemara, Omalei Abayla Rabbi Yosef, Oysa Arivasali, that area that we say that the buyer is entitled to, Mizoran, is it completely the property of the buyer, and he could even plant there? Or is it the property of the owner? And the only thing is that it's the property of the original owner. He could even plant there, but the buyer has the right to do what he has to do to collect his fruit. But it's not really considered his fruit. In other words, the way the Rashbam explains, the land that's under the tree, the land that's between the trees, is considered completely the property of the person who bought the trees. Because that's included when you buy, as we've been learning, that's included when you buy three trees. Here, is it considered area that I bought, or is it area that I have a right to? Amalei, Tenesua, to which Rabbi Yosef says to Abaya, the Mishnah says later in the Aftzalik Tesoma base, that somebody who had a garden, one garden inside the other person's garden, and the person in the outer garden gave the person in the inner garden a way to get to his garden, even though the person with the outer garden gave me a right to get into my inner garden, he gave me a right to walk there, but the actual ownership of that land still remains his. To which says the Gemara, Amalei, so Abaye said to Rabbi Yosef, Mitami, can we compare the case that we're speaking here to that case? Hasam, Leslie Pseid Lekeach, the buyer has no loss, because all I needed is a path. He gave me a path, and if he chose to plant on it, it doesn't stop me from being able to get to my field. Avhocha, the land around the trees, says the Gemara, Isle Pseid Lekeach, if the owner is going to be allowed, if the original owner, we're going to say, is the owner of that land, to the degree that he could even plant there, I, the buyer of that tree, could claim, Amalei mitzvah peri, you're rooting my fruit, because if my fruit falls down, and you planted on the land next to the tree, on the outside, and you planted there, and as we often discuss, planting involves fertilizer, and now that fertilizer will ruin the fruit that falls down. And therefore, says Abaya, Holei Dami El Sefer, the way to compare our Mishnah in the case that we're discussing here is only what we learned in the Sefer of Zevze Ein Rishayim Lazara, that if somebody has a right, if Beis Din gave a person a right in the inner field to walk through the outer field, the halach is that he can't plant there. And the reason that he can't plant there is because it will ruin, it will be hard for me from walking to my field. So we see that when it represents a problem for me, then I can't plant there. So of course, all the Mefarshim try to understand what's the difference between the two cases, that where I bought a piece of property, where I bought a right, versus where Beis Din gave me a right. So Rashbam says, if I bought a right, then it's understood that I only bought what I need. And once I bought there, the halacha is that I can't plant there myself. But in a case where Beis Din gave it to us, the understanding is that Beis Din gave me only as much as I needed. And therefore, planting cannot be planted on there. Tanya kavosid Abaya, and says the Gemara Abaya teaches us, Hareza tachtekona tachteim b'neim, you own the area, v'chotzelahen, and the area outside is also yours. How much? K'mloi or v'saloi. And says the Gemara, v'zeh v'zeh, both the seller and the buyer, the halacha says, ein rishayim lazara, can't plant there. So we've been discussing that when somebody buys three trees, he gets the area in between the trees. Says the Gemara, v'kama yeh b'neim, how much area is considered that the part that go along with the tree? In other words, if there's too much room in between the trees, then it's certainly not considered all the buyer's land. And on the other hand, if the three trees are very bunched together, those trees will not remain that way. Somebody's going to take off one of those trees. They can't survive. So what is the proper shear? Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yehuda, Mishmul, Me'arba Amis V'Tshmona Amis. There has to be at least four Amis besides the areas that the trees takes up. Up to eight amis, that becomes the property of the buyer. Rava Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, that the shurim are double. M'shmoyne v'at sheshem, there has to be at least eight amis between the trees, and you're entitled up to 16 amis between the trees. Amar Leah Bailer of Yosef, Leitifik Leilander of Nachman, don't disagree with what Rav Nachman said in the name of Shmuel, that up to an area of 16 amos between the trees make it into all the trees being connected. The Tanan Mesnitzin Kavasei, there's a Mishnah Mesechta Klayim that supports this. And as the Rashbam adds, what he was saying to him was that Reb Yosef was, we know throughout Shas, got ill and forgot his learning. And he was saying, you're not remembering all the Mishnayos and Shas. If you would remember all the Mishnayos and Shas, you would have remembered that this area, that the halacha is 8 to 16. There's machlokes rishonim, when we say the shurim of me'arba amos v'tshmoina or mishmoina amos v'tshesha esrei, the opinion of the Rashbam is ad v'loy ad b'klal, that if there is, it's up to 16 amos. After 16 amos, it's not included. Tosfos says that, yes, when it comes to sale, so when it comes to Mecca Chamemka, we're much tighter with the amounts. But when it comes to this halacha, it's not ad b'chlal. Omele by the Tanan, says the Gemara, the Mishnah Masechta Klayim, Perek Dal, Mishnah Test teaches us. Hanateyas b'kama shesh ama shesh ama. Somebody who plants a field, a vineyard, with rows, and there's a distance of 16 amos between the two rows. The halach is mutter lahavil zera l'sham. You could plant in between the two rows different. You could plant the two between the two rows different seeds. It's not going to be considered shesh esrei. It's not going to be considered klayim. It's not considered that the fields are mixed. If there's less than 16 amos, then you wouldn't be allowed to plant there, because then it's considered a situation that there would be considered a situation of klayim. And as the Rishonim point out, even if there are many trees, the rows are packed with trees, the halacha doesn't change. Once there's a distance of 16 amos between the trees, that separates the trees. And here too, if there's a greater distance than 16 amos between the trees, the trees are considered not connected to each other, and therefore, even if I bought three trees, I will not own the land between the trees.